Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, and talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a success coach, spokeswoman, and fundraiser with Successimo.com, a free social networking, informational, and inspirational website. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and a winologist expert. She is your host today on January Jones, sharing Successimo stories. So sit back and relax and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones and her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn while you earn. These stories plus sharing equal Successimo.com. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you're entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you, have you ever known a wild woman? Are you wondering, how does one become a wild woman? Are you afraid that you might already be a wild woman? And did you know that wild women never get the blues? Do you want to feel good about yourself? Would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that you've been looking for? Are you ready to learn while you earn? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Successimo Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to two guests who are success coaches extraordinaire with Successimo.com. They both have provided us with inspirational and informative lessons. Before I introduce my first guest, I'd love to invite you to call in. The call-in number is 818-431-8506. Do call in with any questions that you may have during our interview. Let me tell you a little bit about our first guest today. Our guest today is a psychologist, life coach, author, and inspirational speaker on mind, body, and spirit wellness. She is the founder of International Health Coaching Enterprises and an expert in the process of total health and life mastery. This sex coach specializes in developing healthy lifestyles, improving self-image, establishing a life's purpose, eliminating stress, depression, and anxiety. Behavioral nutrition. She deals with chronic pain and illness and enhancing spiritual growth and soul nourishment. Our content provider interventions are designed to enhance and promote a sense of empowerment, motivation, a core sense of identity and purpose, self-image, and emotional and spiritual well-being. The goal of her individual coaching sessions and seminars is to provide participants with the insight, skills, and tools necessary to self-actualize, to feel good, and to experience happiness while bringing their goals and dreams into fruition. This life coach teaches a wide variety of behavioral health medicine courses to graduate students at several universities. She is also the author of Wild Women Never Get the Blues, How to Tap into Your Intuition to Create Your Best Life. It's with great pleasure that I introduce you to Dr. Wendy Nickerson. Hello, Wendy. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, January. Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Okay. Well, I've interviewed you before, and I'm so looking forward to this interview. First of all, I want to have you share with our listeners a little bit about your background. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Nova Scotia, Canada, and I lived in Florida also for 14 years. where I received my doctoral degree at Florida Institute of Technology.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to Arizona 4.5 years ago.
Okay, okay. Now, I love the title of your book, and I want to hear more about it, Wild Women Never Get the Blues. How did you come up with that title?
That was actually a title of a group that I ran in my doctoral internship in Tampa, Florida. And uh-huh. I loved the title so much because it was so catchy. But mm-hmm. basically what the title represents is wild women, meaning wild, being true to ourselves, being authentic, being true to our natural nature, rather than succumbing to how we've been socialized. Mm-hmm. And the premise of the book is basically when we're true to ourselves and own our true spirit of who we really are, we're less inclined to experience depression and anxiety. I think, too, I noticed when I was treating so many women who were dealing with depression and anxiety, and I've also experienced this myself, when we got to the core of it, there was something inside of them that needed to come out, and it was basically an expression of their soul or an expression of their life's work. And I noticed that when they started doing, if you will, what they were put on this earth to do, that the depression subsided. So that's part of the background for the book also.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, you are a success coach with Successimal. Could you tell us how your Successimal story began?
Well, Dr. Bob contacted me and told me about Successimal. And, of course, I love to share my insights in any, you know, possible ways that I can. At first, I was a little bit reluctant because I tend to question. I have a lot of questions about business, the setup of businesses that I don't quite understand. But mm-hmm. now that I've become more familiar with how Successimal works, I've actually contributed quite a bit to the Successimal content. Recently, I submitted 17 5-minute audio clips.
Oh, wow.
You know, in addition to the articles. And I've also submitted a couple of video clips, too. But they weren't that professional, so I really want to get more professional with my video clips.
Okay, that's
great.
I love
sharing and inspiring. I love sharing and inspiring people. It inspires me.
I think so. I think that's what we're finding out, that so many of our coaches, they start off with, you know, little baby steps, and they start just doing a few articles, and consequently they realize how easy this is and what a fantastic audience and platform. And then, like you, they graduate to audios, and then they do videos. Now, for your articles, the one article, I've read all of your articles, and they are fantastic, and I highly recommend them. Let's talk about your first article, and that's called Rewriting Your Story. Could you give us the highlights from that article, Wendy?
You know, our life is about the story that we tell ourselves about ourselves. You know, do we see ourselves as victims? Do we see ourselves as being empowered? And sometimes we operate from our life story, and we continue our life story repeating the same patterns without even realizing that we're operating from a life story. Oftentimes our life story can have a faulty premise. For instance, oftentimes mm-hmm. we don't realize that we're creating our own reality. We're creating our own life. And yet we think that we're being victimized. Well, we are being victimized by our own thoughts and by our own beliefs. So mm-hmm. I always encourage people to sit down and write their life story and then look through their life story and start to rephrase or review each aspect of their life story from a different possible perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Their life story still has to remain true to them, but I encourage them to see what's happened to them in their life from a positive perspective. How mm-hmm. has, you know, for example, how has the fact that when you were 7 years old, your dog died, how has that actually helped you as an adult in your life? Has it made you more empathic? Has it caused you to see that you have a passion towards animals? There is a reason why, there's a divine reason why that happened in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And to see it rather than from a victim, but to see it as you know, oh, this was a guidepost. I need to take note of this and see that this was a message for me and see that this was something good for me, even though it didn't feel good in the human form,
mm-hmm.
emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And that reframe, that way you reframe things, and it's so powerful because
mm-hmm.
we start to tap into our own power. We get away from that victim stance.
Mm-hmm. I think we've all grown up. I remember when I was young, my grandmother would always say that everything happens for a reason, and even the things that are unpleasant, if we wait long enough, we'll find that there's some good that comes from it. Now that I'm older, I realize how true that statement was. And some of the negative things actually turn into our biggest opportunities, don't you think so?
Oh, absolutely, especially if we choose to see it that way. I think if we choose to see it that way, we get to see the opportunity sooner rather than wallowing in, you know, the negativity of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this especially goes for the loss of jobs, the loss of relationships, major losses. The bigger the loss, the bigger the opportunity for an incredible gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
I think
it's hard to see that when we're in it. It really is.
I know. It's so difficult to tell young people, but it is so true. We're going to take a break for commercial, Wendy, and when we come back, I want to share with everyone your website information.
When you think that something is too good to be true, could you ever be wrong? The answer is yes, yes, yes when it comes to Successimo.com, because you will earn while you learn, and it will be free, free, free. Successimo.com is a social networking site that will change the way you learn and earn money while you work on your computer at home. This free website provides continuous learning opportunities while rewarding you for taking lessons and inviting others to join with you, receiving inspirational information. You'll receive points that can be redeemed for merchandise or cash. Just what does free mean to users at Successimo.com? It means that there are no fees, no donations, no pledges. You will never need cash, checks, or credit cards. All revenues are generated from advertisers at the website, just like Facebook and Twitter. This too-good-to-be-true social networking site is the newest paradigm on the Internet for home-based business and nonprofit organizations. Do you hate asking people for money? We all do. And the good news is that Successimo is a fundraiser for nonprofits that does not require money. It just requires small amounts of your time or your organization's time to raise funds. When you do lesson activities, you'll receive points that can be redeemed for merchandise or cash. When you think of Successimo.com, you need to think learn while you earn, and always remember that passion plus purpose equals prosperity. Successimo.com is not only too good to be true, it is unbelievably innovative, and there are no downsides since no money is ever required. Successimo.com is the right website for now because it is the first one ever to pay people to participate. No one else does this. So sign up now and stop whining, start winning, and start being Successimo. Successimo.com is not only beyond priceless, it's a fantastic way to pay it forward.
Welcome back. This is January Jones sharing Successimo stories with my guest, Dr. Wendy Nickerson. And before the break, Wendy, I wanted you to share with our audience your website and how they can contact you and find out more about you.
They can contact me through my website. My website address is drwendynickerson.com, www.drwendynickerson.com, and it's D-R-W-E-N-D-Y. wendynivkerson.com.
And I recommend her website to everyone. And when you go to Successimo, you can also read all of her learning activities. She has articles, audios, and now she's just posted 17 new audios. So I'm going to have to go and watch listen to those. One of the articles that I was interested in was your article on relationships, and it's entitled "Breaking Up Is Hard to Do." That is such a true statement. Could you give us a little insight into your approach to breaking up?
Okay, sure. And by the way, I also had some audios on that same article. Breaking up is hard because, or can be hard, because when we are with someone, if we can, look at it from an energy perspective, you know, our energies merge. And so oftentimes it is excruciating when we're breaking up in a romantic relationship or even in a friendship sometimes, because the energy vibrations have changed within the relationship. And oftentimes that is the ultimate cause of the breakup. You know, when we break everything down in life in its finest form, is energy. So if there is an energy difference, a major gap between two people, it is going to present itself, I should say, in the form of differences and disagreements and what seem to be irreconcilable differences between two people. The way to help deal with the pain of that shattered energy is to ground your own energy and keep yourself centered and stay focused on nurturing yourself. So oftentimes in a breakup, we go into victim mode and we focus so much, we ruminate on what that other person did to us and how could they do that to us. And that actually exacerbates the pain. Instead, if we can force ourselves to contain our own energy and contain our own thoughts, basically, too, and our own emotions by nurturing ourselves, whatever feels good that isn't harmful to you. You know, I'm not talking about using drugs and alcohol and things like that to nurture yourself, but I'm talking about support systems. I'm talking about exercise. I'm talking about reading your favorite book. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about connecting with your soul, spending time alone, spending time with a higher power, your higher self, those types of things to recollect your own energy. And when you can see it from an energy perspective, it's easier to get more objective about it and get a little bit of distance from the actual emotions involved. It's almost as if you're observing the breakup. And you know, we don't want people to go in denial about their pain, but we all want to have a break from our pain now and again. So observing it from an energy perspective is often what I encourage, and you do that by keeping yourself grounded and nurtured.
Now, after you have the breakup and you're over it, how do you get rid of the anger that you might carry with you from the breakup?
You know, there are lots of ways, and I think it's on an individual basis, like depending upon how each individual deals with their anger. And I write in my book about this, about writing an anger letter. There is something very tangible about getting that anger out of your system and writing it on paper. And writing it in a way, of course you're going to start off at the blame victim stance, but progressing from that to how the actual incident improved your life. You want to get the anger out, but you don't want to stay stuck at that stage of getting the anger out. You want to go to the upper levels of, you know, love and compassion. You want to go to the higher vibrations of emotion, the higher emotions that cure the higher vibrations. And so oftentimes people will burn the letter.
Yeah.
You don't have to give it to the person. As a matter of fact, I often recommend don't give it to the person because there's really no point in it. Your unconscious knows that you've written it and you've
mm-hmm.
gotten the anger out of your psyche onto the paper, which is the purpose of it all. And it's so simple. But you know what is so interesting, January?
What?
People will resist doing that. And for years, I wondered, why are they resisting doing that? They know it works. They've done it before. And I realized that they're not ready to let go of their anger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So you're not going to be able to muster up the gumption, if you will, to get that letter written until you're ready to let go of the anger.
Well, you know, sometimes we find that people aren't happy unless they're unhappy. And I see
right.
that so often. And that probably would be the type of person who wouldn't want to get rid of the anger.
That's so true. You're right on the money with that, I think. That
mm-hmm.
is so true. Oftentimes people don't realize that they have a choice, that they don't have to be angry,
mm-hmm.
that love does feel good. And joy
mm-hmm.
does feel good, and happiness does feel good, and once they become accustomed, it's like developing a taste for it. It's like when we try out a new food, at first it feels a little uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
or when we move somewhere, when we move to a new location, at first it's very uncomfortable, but after you get acquainted with it, you enjoy where you're living. It's the same with our state of consciousness or whether we live with anger or not, or unhappiness. Once we learn to live without the anger and to live in a state of happiness, it becomes very comfortable. And as a matter of fact, you'll go to great lengths to protect that state. You don't want to go back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, You write about wild women, and your one article is Portrait of a Wild Woman. Could you share that with our listeners?
Sure. The Portrait of a Wild Woman is basically someone who is at great peace with himself, someone who lives in a higher state of knowing and level of consciousness. Because she's connected to that innermost knowing that she was born with, she somehow managed to get reconnected with that knowing. And she realizes that she's okay just the way she is. So if she has to go out in public, for instance, and
mm-hmm.
she doesn't have makeup on, she's fine with that.
Uh-huh.
Because she sees herself as her higher self. And so what she looks like really isn't that important. And she, you can recognize a woman like this because she's at peace with herself and others, and she strives to remain at peace with herself and others. And other people will think she's lucky and confident.
Mm-hmm.
But the woman just realizes that everything lands perfectly in her lap, that it's supposed to land perfectly in her lap. And she's okay going with the flow and being in life the way it is. And she has no investment in convincing others of her knowing. She doesn't try to get others to see things her way. She's absolutely okay with everybody right where they're at, believing what they're believing. There's no debates about politics or religions or anything like that. She just
mm-hmm.
has total peace. She has no interest in winning arguments at all. And more importantly, she's constantly able to see the bigger picture in any situation in life. When she's confronted with a situation in life, she's able to see the bigger picture. So she doesn't get focused on these negative, minute details. She appreciates very small things. The least little thing will make her very happy.
Mm-hmm.
She's exceptionally generous. It comes natural. And she expects synchronicity and coincidence. Every single day when she gets up, she expects synchronicity and coincidence to be in her life, because she knows that these are guideposts to her life's mission. And she expects, she knows that the universe is conspiring behind the scenes in her favor. She knows that at a deep core level. And the reason that that is important is because it buffers her from fear.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't fall into that fear mode. She does not fear death.
Oh.
And she chooses to feel good regardless of what's going on around her. And that's key. Can you imagine what it would be like to be living at a level of consciousness where we choose to feel good regardless of whether we can pay the rent, regardless if our car is broken down, regardless if our parents are sick, regardless, you know, of whether a foreclosure is pending,
mm-hmm.
and yet she still chooses to feel good.
Also,
wow. Power.
You know, I think we all have met those type of women in our lives, and we just look at them, and you just would like to be like them so much. Now, when a woman comes to you and she's miserable and she says, I just don't feel good about myself, what little tips can you give that woman to help her feel good about herself again?
Right. I always encourage women and men too, by the way, to take baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
And if they insist on focusing on their past in their life, I insist that they focus on the good things that have happened to them in their life. And what it does is it starts to build a sense of self-worth and a sense of self-esteem. If there was one teacher in their life who gave them one compliment. For instance, I remember as a little girl, my mother had sent me to church. With my sister and brother, and the pastor and his wife drove us home. We didn't have a car, so the pastor and his wife drove us home. My parents didn't attend church, but they sent us to Sunday school. So I remember the woman looking in her mirror, and as a little girl, I looked up and she was driving. She was actually driving, and I looked up in her mirror, and I remember seeing her eyes, and she looked at me in her mirror, and she said, "You are such a good little girl."
Oh.
Well, you wouldn't think that that would make a big difference in someone's life, but I am 54 years old, and I still remember that.
Oh,
as if
wow.
it were yesterday.
How
and,
wonderful.
And, you know, it's those types of things, those good things in everyone's life, a grandmother, an aunt, or somebody who said or recognized the divine in you as a child. And it's to grasp those moments and to magnify them, to write them down and write a story around those moments. Paint a picture of that moment. Capture that feeling of when someone saw who you really were when you were a child. And that's a place to start. Because then what happens is the energy starts flowing in there and you start actually realizing, hey, this is true. I am a good person. I do have a special purpose. I do have a lot to offer. And it just snowballs. Once you get that core knowing down that you are good at the core.
Mm-hmm.
And to have behaviors that reflect that, honor yourself, set boundaries. If something doesn't feel good, just because you've tolerated it all of your life doesn't mean that you cannot gracefully set boundaries now. And the way to do that is just to say, I'm sorry, that doesn't work for me. Or you don't even have to say, I'm sorry. That doesn't work for me.
You know, I think that all of us in our lifetimes have been the recipients of unconditional love, like from a grandmother, an aunt, or a parent. And I think one of the keys to a successful life is to return that unconditional love to other people, especially to young people. I think that you can really, really make a difference in people's lives. Dr. Wendy, you have made such a great difference in so many women's lives and men. It's been wonderful to have you on the show. Could you, again, before we go, give us your website information?
Okay, my website address is www.drwendynickerson.com. That is spelled DrWendyNickerson.com.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being on our show, and we will have you back again. And it's been a wonderful interview. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, January. Have a great night.
Lately, there has been a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, you'll find out what people whine about, why they whine, and most importantly, how to stop them from whining. The 11th Commandment deals with all of the complaints and causes, and there are over 100 plus cures for whining with humor and hope in this edition. This is the perfect gift to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shalt Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. It'll make you laugh at yourself and others. John Curtis, a distinguished author, reminds us that it is the perfect gift for anyone who wants to be healthy and happy with humor, honey, and hope, and for people who are just hopeless. You can find Thou Shalt Not Whine at Amazon.com and at the Successimo.com Coaches Bookstore. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. As Sally Shields, best-selling author, states, January Jones gets to the core of the matter with her quick-witted tips and cures that cut to the chase and will put any seasoned whiner to shame. So get reading and stop whining and start winning with Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment.
This is January Jones welcoming you back for our second interview today. The call-in number is 818-431-8506. Now let me ask you a question. Are you tired of dealing with people who drive you crazy? Or are you the one driving others crazy? Are you curious about life? Have you ever thought about writing a book? Are you ready to rewrite your own story? Would you like to learn how to be a success story with Successimo? Can you imagine earning money while you are learning valuable inspirational information? Are you ready to meet someone who can help you make big changes in small steps? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then I would like to welcome you to the second half of the show. Let me tell you a little bit about our guests. For 19 wonderful seasons, our guest tonight served as a veteran mentor chaplain for NBA's Washington Bullets. Quite a number of pro athletes, from basketball and hockey to football and baseball, have consulted with him on a variety of personal and professional matters. With well over 500,000 copies in print, this success coach's 7 books and 3 DVDs have received rave reviews worldwide, endorsed by notables like Steve Forbes, Bill Cosby, Julius Dr. J. Irving, Kathy Hughes, Ben Carson, Brian Tracy, Joe Frazier, Terry Woods, Ken Blanchard, Rich DeVos, and George Frazier, Pat Williams, and Billy Graham. His books have been published in 28 foreign translations. This accomplished author, internationally sought-after conference speaker and workshop facilitator, he's a serial entrepreneur, professional counselor, success coach to executives, organizational cultural change specialist. Recipient of numerous awards, citations, and honors, this motivational consultant and mentor to pro athletes, multiculturally astute with travels to 50-plus countries, critical incident debriefing coach, magazine publisher, photographer, this content provider is passionate about dynamic, fun-filled excellence, experiences on ongoing love-hate relationships with technology. He is a devoted husband and father. He is an off-key singer and an extremely bad dancer. A life motivated by curiosity, no bull, no hype. It's my pleasure to introduce you to Dr. Joel Freeman. Hello, Dr. Joel. How are you today? Dr. Joel, how are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, how are you? Are you okay?
Okay, I'm sorry. I had a mute button on, and I just failed to, I was talking, and nothing was happening. I apologize for that.
Okay, I was hoping that I hadn't lost you before the interview began. I'm so pleased to have you on the show, and I love your introduction, the off-key singer and extremely bad dancer. Now, that must have been written by your wife, I would take it.
Yes, and I own up to it very well, and actually, I don't shirk away from it. When we go to events, I try to dance and do the best I can, but I just can't do it, and my singing makes my wife laugh, so that's the way it is. I still sing, though.
Well, that's good. You can sing in your bathroom in the shower.
That's right.
Let me ask you about your background. Where are you from?
I was born in Maine and grew up in Alberta, Canada, a little town of about 2,000 people with 9 ice hockey rinks in the wintertime.
Wow.
And so I really, really enjoyed growing up there, and then I ended up leaving home when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
And just started hitchhiking all around North America. Became a long-haired hippie and a dope-smoking fool, and just, about a year and a half was out on the road, and then my whole life just kind of turned around, and I began to get some real purpose in my life, and signed up for school, and, things began to change right around when I was about 19 years of age. So that was a real good time, change in my life.
Is there anything specific that you can pinpoint to that caused you to change?
Well, it was, I guess in my life, it was, I began to take a look at spiritual things,
mm-hmm.
and it really became more of a, as I looked at the more vertical view, everything in the horizontal began to make sense and come into balance in my life,
mm-hmm.
and that's really the way it worked for me.
Mm-hmm. Did you have one particular mentor when you went to school, or one particular person that was extremely helpful?
Yes, I was actually very fortunate. I had several, and they were teachers that really helped me. And then a brother, my older brother, he's my only brother, two sisters, one older and one younger. And my older brother, Steve, he was a great help to me. And then a friend that I've known since fourth grade, and we still keep in touch. In fact, in about 3 weeks, my best friend and I will be flying to Iceland, and I'll be speaking at a conference, and we're just going to spend some time in Iceland together. So just a real I feel very wealthy with the friends, the mentors in my life.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've been a mentor to so many people yourself. Would you tell us a little bit about how your Successimo.com story began?
Well, it was something where Joe DeSimone,
mm-hmm.
he somehow heard about me, and he drove down from New York to talk with me, he and his wife, and we went out to dinner together, and I was very taken by him. As an individual, I really loved his passion. I could sense his integrity and the whole desire to help people really came through. And so, and I get pitched an awful lot by people wanting me to get involved in different things. And so I have a I pretty much don't get involved in any network marketing or anything like that, simply because I do so many conferences and seminars on entrepreneurship that I just have to remain neutral. But what I saw with Successimo was a way that regardless of what anyone was involved in, they could someone could be a roofer, could run a catering business, could be involved in anything, and still be involved in Successimo. And I began to see the value of what he was talking about. So I kind of watched and in many ways helped to give some ideas that helped to shape some of the beginning days of Successimo, and hopefully helped a little bit. And then just seeing it grow, and I'm just very pleased with just the trajectory. You know, things always, just like putting an addition on the house, it always takes longer. It's always messier, and it's always more expensive than previously anticipated. And so I'm sure Joe could get on the phone here and share some war stories on what he's already experienced. But, you know, it has a good trajectory, and I think the future looks very bright for it.
I think so, too. I want you to, we are going to talk about some of your learning activities that you posted at Successimo, because they are fantastic. Before we do that, I'd like to have you share with our listeners something about the Freeman Institute. Could you share your website and tell us a little bit about your institute, because your mantra is dealing with people who drive you crazy.
Well, it's basically I have a number, about eight arenas of expertise in the institute. We launched it, 1993. And what's that, about I don't know how many, 18 years or something like that, 19 years ago. And it just was an amazing time to launch it. No internet. I had never known how to do anything like this. I really had no mentors for this specific business model. But it has grown, and I'm very, very happy with it. But mostly it embodies workshops, seminars, retreat facilitation, keynote addresses, and then also doing some reality-based organizational culture change. Another arena of expertise has to do with business coaching and also dealing with the whole area of critical incident debriefings. I have a special process designed for people who are in high-profile settings, because I worked as chaplain for the Bullets, the Wizards, for 19 years, and so I've worked with a lot of professional athletes and people that they're in the spotlight who have to have absolutely confidential help. And so I have a 10-hour, it covers 3 months, I call it THTM, 10-hour, 3-month process that people go through, and it really has been very helpful. And then there's also entrepreneurship, business intelligence, and creativity, and then open registration seminar events that I do in various parts of the country. I'll be doing some things in India in December. The country of Ghana has asked me to come and help institute some kind of a entrepreneurship initiative for the country next year. And so I do things internationally and nationally. And then the foundation, I have the Freeman Institute Foundation. It has a number of about five different areas in the foundation. And then the Rosetta Stone Replica Project, where I've developed the world's first and only full-size three-dimensional replica of the famous Rosetta Stone, the original being in the museum, in London at the British Museum. And then finally, it's have a lot to do with black history and diversity, and a collection of over 3,000 pieces of black history, oldest piece dating back to 1553.
Wow.
I have a book and a film that I co-created on this topic, and under my nonprofit, want to develop black history galleries in communities all across the country, in selected cities internationally, and then bring all these galleries together through Skype and other means through the Internet, so that you can have a kid in Accra, Ghana, talking with a kid in Paducah, Kentucky, talking with a kid in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, and connecting them through the gateway of culture and history.
How exciting. That's fantastic.
That kind of gives you an overview of the Institute and what we're passionate about.
Oh, thank you for sharing that with our listeners. Right now, we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the articles that you've posted at successmo.com.
Okay.
Let me ask you, are you ready to become a cash cow? Would you like to get paid while you're spending time at your computer? Let's face it, if you're on it all the time, you might as well be earning while you're learning. You may be asking now just how does successmo.com work? Successmo.com is the new paradigm in social networking with big lessons and big rewards. Simply put, it is a change in the way people will learn, earn, work, and live right now and in the future. Its primary purpose is to let people become successful in whatever areas of their life that they desire. We have found that when rewarded with valuable merchandise and cash, people are motivated to continue their learning process. All you will need to do will be short lesson activities that can be articles, videos, audios, blogs, or forums. They take only a few minutes at your computer, and they will reap great rewards. At successmo.com, you will never have to reinvent the wheel or anything else. We will provide you with success coaches who will motivate, encourage, and support you as you create your own Successmo story. And more than that, successmo.com provides you with money. You'll have the opportunity to earn money while you're learning to be successful. The lesson activities at Successmo are from the world's foremost instructors. Our success coaches are experts in their field with proven and demonstrated experience. Many of them are authors, speakers, teachers, entrepreneurs, and successful businessmen and women. We strive to bring you success coaches with diverse backgrounds and life experiences. We continually grow our resource base of content providers to serve you continually for your development desires and needs. It is easier than you think to build your own network by just referring your associates, employees, friends, and family. Much to your amazement, successmo.com will take on a virtual reality life and connect you to a global social networking experience. There are no geographic or physical limitations to this enterprise. So now it's time for you to become a Successmo subscriber, and always remember that on the internet, innovation plus ideas will equal income. It's time for you to step up to the plate and hit that home run you've always been dreaming about. The timing is right for you to use your creativity and courage to start collecting the cash flow that is the future of social networking on the internet. Yes, you deserve to be that cash cow right now. Successmo.com is not only beyond priceless, it's a fantastic way to pay it forward.
Welcome back with January Jones and my guest, Dr. Joel Freeman. Dr. Joel, let's talk a little bit about some of the learning articles, activities that you've posted. The one that I was particularly interested in sharing with our listeners is If I Can Write, You Can Write, because I know you're quite a prolific writer. You've done over 50 books, is that correct?
No, I have a number of books in many languages all around the world.
Okay.
And I don't know what that all adds up to, but it's quite a quite a number. I think I got 28 different translations and some other things happening, magazine articles emerging.
Mm-hmm. So many times people ask me, how do you write a book? What should I do? Do you have any tips that you could give our listeners who are interested in becoming authors?
Well, what I try to communicate, see, I wrote this, my one of my later, most recent books called If Nobody Loves You, Create the Demand.
Mm-hmm.
That's both a book and a workbook that's designed for launching entrepreneur clubs and communities.
Uh-huh.
But basically, it's I wrote that book as a time management tool. And,
mm-hmm.
And what I encourage people who are trying to figure out a topic is to think, sit down, and maybe make a list of all the areas, all the arenas of expertise that one has, that are where their counsel is in demand,
mm-hmm.
and just to think about, you know, what do people ask me about? What are the major questions? And then basically, what I found myself doing is that I love to give away my time and efforts with people. Helping people brainstorm about an invention, idea, or an entrepreneurial idea, and maybe about a film, about a book, you know, those types of things. Mm-hmm. And so, and sometimes my brain storms and nothing more than a slight drizzle, but, you know, it's fun to talk with people about it. But I found that I was saying some of the same things to people, some of the same core values, core issues, core ideas about marketing and branding and these types of aspects. Uh-huh. And so I thought, well, gosh, I better sit down and what if I wrote all of this out? And then I could maybe even make it into a Word document. I could send it to them. I'd just say, please, read this first, and then I'm willing to talk with you. But as I wrote, I mean, my goodness, within about 7 days, about 90% of the book came. It came in like a flood. I probably never will have, it'll never happen again like this. Uh-huh. I know it's never happened before like this, but I had to, while I was writing one chapter, another chapter would come to my mind after writing a piece of paper and not miss a step with the chapter I was working on, but I didn't want to forget that. And it just was an incredible experience. And so now what happens is when someone calls me with to want to talk, mm-hmm. rather than spending an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours with them on the phone, mm-hmm. I can just say, I'd love for you to read this book, and I hope it doesn't sound too creepy, but just, you know, I'd like you to read the book, you know, and if necessary, if you can't afford it, I'll send it to you, you know, but mm-hmm. read this first.
Okay.
And then once you've read the book, then I'll talk with you. But you'll now have the specific questions to ask me in that particular area. And so in terms of writing, to get back to your original question, find out, what were your counsels in demand, and mm-hmm. then maybe in hierarchical form start looking at how can I take these three or four areas that my counsels in demand, and what's the top area, what am I most passionate about, mm-hmm. and then start filling that in. What would make a good, for me, what works is I have to have the title of the book.
Uh-huh.
That has to be a tentative title, has to really be the sale that kind of fills up with all kinds of ideas and creativity. And then I know what the first couple of chapters are, the last couple of chapters, and then I fill it in almost like magazine articles.
Uh-huh.
And then provide segues from chapter to chapter. And then what I really encourage people to do is to step away from the book,
mm-hmm.
Or even a few chapters for about 3 or 4 weeks. Just do other stuff. Don't think about it. And then come back to it and read it with a fresh perspective, and you'll tell very quickly whether or not it needs a whole lot of work or it's pretty close. My first book, it took me 5 rewrites. And by the third rewrite, I was about ready to throw it in the trash can. But it just takes that discipline to keep after it and keep honing it down and refining it, and that's all part of the process.
Yeah,
and another way to really check the mettle of a manuscript is to read it out loud. Go into a room all alone and read it out loud and see how it rolls off the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't quite sound right, it probably isn't going to read right. And so mess with it, work with it, get a thesaurus out, and just see what, you know, just be a wordsmith, move things around until it sounds right when you read it out loud.
Okay. You know, that's so true, because one of my mentors, when I originally started writing, his advice to me was try to write the way you speak. And
yes.
So often if you're just speaking, you're telling a story, and it's fantastic and fabulous. I think people have to learn to put that on paper, and they'll get the same effect. Dr. Joe, when you look back on your successful career, can you tell me, was there anything that happened to you personally that was unexpected, that changed the course of your career in a good way?
Well, I would have to say, for me, it was way back when I had that experience when I was working with the Washington Bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Just before working with them, I didn't know anything about becoming a chaplain for a professional sports team.
Uh-huh.
And a friend of mine was working with the Celtics at the time.